I want to spend moments with you in the gospel which the Holy Spirit chose the beloved disciple to record. The I ams of Jesus are the hinges on which his deity swing, and John opens by 8 supreme statements. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is co-eternal with God. The Word was with God. Jesus is coexistent with God. The Word was God. Jesus is co-equal with God. The Word became flesh. This is the incarnation. He dwelt among us. This is his humiliation. No man hath seen God at any time. God is invisible, and we beheld his glory. The invisible became visible. The begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The question that John sets himself to answer is, how did Jesus declare him? That brings us to the text. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. That is, they are not written in the Gospel of John. There are 38 miracles or signs recorded in the Gospels. John chose 7 for his purpose. He states, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John records 7 great declarations that Jesus made about his deity. Jesus declared himself to be the eternal I am 7 times. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus embodied these 7 declarations in 7 miracles. He turned water into wine. He healed the nobleman's son. He healed the paralytic at Bethsaida. He fed the 5,000. He healed a man born blind. He calmed the sea. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. He revealed himself as creator, sustainer, empowerer, provider, illuminator, protector, and recreator. Every attribute of God, as far as man's redemption and preservation are concerned, is demonstrated. Every need of man is covered. From birth to death and beyond, Jesus is all I shall ever need. Let's look at what John chose for evidence, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John chooses first the miracle of turning water into wine. Jesus said, I am the vine, and he proved it. The incident was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Jesus was an invited guest. We read, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. His public life begins at 30. He is subject to his heavenly Father only. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Miracles are never cheap. Faith is conquest. It isn't magic. What is that to thee and to me? We expect water hazards and sand traps in golf. We expect bases and opponents in baseball. We expect difficulties in business. We expect storms and the unfriendly in weather. So, in every miracle there is a rebuttal. God anticipates argument, the inclination of the human. Who needs it? They are there to extract a confession. That confession is, God, I come to thee through Jesus. I can never make it by myself. What I must have is more than mankind can produce. That confession will save you every time. That is why there are delays to answered prayer. Blessing follows confession. They are predicated that Jesus is more than human seed. Jesus is divine. That confession is a bridge upon which you travel toward the impossible. Mary's confession is recorded. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She wasn't talking about a boy she raised at the carpenter's bench. She was introducing the Son of God. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. There was no chance for trickery. Nothing could be added. And in the presence of the Creator, the water became wine of such quality that the ruler of the feast declared it to have been the best served. It was a creative act that only divinity could perform. Jesus did it instantly. What nature requires a season to do, the purpose was to demonstrate his deity. Keep that in mind. The purpose was achieved. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee when he turned the water into wine and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Jesus Christ can make you, sir, by a new birth, what you were meant to be and what you ought to be and what this world needs. He is the Creator Savior. Now we're ready to look at the second miracle John chooses to record. It is the healing of the nobleman's son. He lived at Capernaum, at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. His boy became very ill, and doctors allowed very little hope. The boy was beyond their help. The distance to Cana, where Jesus was, is 28 miles. The nobleman hurried. He covered the distance in one day. That is important to remember. The nobleman came right to the point. He besought him that he would come and heal his son. Again, you have the rebuttal. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Faith is triumph. The nobleman prayed a short prayer with a long faith. Faith long enough to reach from Cana to Capernaum, to reach past death to life, through sickness to health. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now Jesus had declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And this was proof. He said, Go thy way, thy son liveth. The father had to know whether it was truth or falsehood. And when he left Capernaum for Cana, he showed anxiety. But when he returned from Cana to Capernaum, he showed a rest of faith. He took 2 days to go home. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him. Keep in mind the purpose for which John chooses the 7 miracles, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Was that purpose achieved? Yes. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. And the miracles are working. They establish credentials beyond question. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He is the Messiah Christ. Come now to the 3rd miracle that John chooses. The location is Bethesda. It is a mineral springs and a healing clinic. It is popular, and the crippled can be carried and helped by the baths. An indigent had hoped for help for 38 years. He must have been very, very poor. He said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in. One 25-cent piece could have bought that kind of help. There weren't any relatives, friends, neighbors to help. He was abandoned. He was so near and yet so far. Each day's sorrow and futility. No man to put me in. It's a sob heard 1,000,000 times. But now there was the God-man. He is everybody's friend. He is the helper, without money or price. And knowing that he had been a long time in that condition, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And again you have the rebuttal. It is the confession that is required. God waits for your answer. What do you believe? What a question to ask a man who for 38 years had been planning to get well. He might have felt insulted. He might have reacted and concluded that the promenader was a humorous kibitzer. He might have given Jesus a full case history and documented it with 38 years of creeping paralysis. He simply stated his difficulty. I have no man. That is a fact that God understands. That's why he sent his son. He knows that a crippled human race needs help, and God has provided that help. He found there was life for a look. Looking at him was the person who said, I am the water of life. That man didn't need Bethesda. He needed Bethlehem. He didn't need a pool. He needed a partner. He didn't need minerals. He needed a master. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Christ's enemies found cause to complain. They decided he wasn't even a good man, let alone God. They made a very, very big point out of carrying the bed. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Their trouble was that they could not discern between business and an act of mercy. It would be wrong to harness animals and drive a cart on God's day to market. But if an animal fell into a ditch and needed an act of mercy, well, that was a different matter. That is really the answer to what is right and wrong for the Lord's day. How are you going to use your automobile? Will it be used for redemptive purposes, or will it be used for business? I don't think there is one sanctified believer who either wants to work on the Lord's day or enjoys working on the Lord's day. So what can you do about it? Now, I'll give you a hint, since most of you get at least time and a half for doing it. Promise Jesus that you will give every cent of that entire time and a half wage to the work of God, and I'll promise you that the devil will soon find someone to take your place, because the devil doesn't want that good money going to the work of saving souls. If Jesus tarries and spares my life now, I'm going to finish this glimpse into the Gospel of John in the next meeting, and we'll look at the concluding four miracles he chose for the one purpose, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Yes, there are enemies who will never believe, regardless of proof. They hate Jesus. They said to the man who was made whole, Now what man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. The man departed and told that it was Jesus who had made him whole. He believed. He joined the nobleman of Capernaum and the disciples at the wedding at Cana. They accepted the deity of Jesus, that he was the Son of God. So the proof is there, mister. The authority Jesus exhibited was the authority of deity. And if God is satisfied with his Son, why aren't you satisfied? The biggest step you will ever take this side of eternity is to say, I believe. The Holy Spirit is drawing us toward the long, long altar. The Savior, the Shepherd, will meet us there, so kneel in faith. These are blessed moments, and this platform continues to surround you in love as the following 10 seconds gather us.
There's room at the cross for you.
Praise God, you've come. You can place any personal problem here. This is Anthony Randall of 401 East Main Street, Westville, Illinois, who meets with us, has proven this to be true. Brother Ward, our 8-year-old daughter, lost her eyeglasses the first day of January, and we searched. And then as the days passed, we came to this altar, and the Lord directed you to us as we knelt. Within hours, they were discovered. They'd been through snow and sleet and below zero temperatures, and yet could be worn immediately. We knew immediately in this house that the Good Shepherd cared for us. So this is the place to come, where problems are placed and direction is given, right here where we meet with Jesus. Lord, many others have burdens. Many wait for help. And let this be that moment. We pray for the parent waiting before thee. It isn't easy to train children, but with thy aid the task is so much easier. We pray for the housewife who must shop. It isn't easy to stretch the paycheck, but with thy help the money goes a lot farther. Let strong faith fill our souls, Jesus. This is no hour for weaklings. Make us all overcomers, and we will glorify thy name. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, so let's move as Jesus directs. There is at this altar a friend whose bone once set. The break happened some time ago, and you're struggling to fill appointments while a cast is in place. It should have been removed many days ago, so you need more than the doctors can do. And this is that moment. Believe it. The great physician has chosen your body for his glory. The broken limb will be repaired by heaven, because there is a link between this planet and headquarters in the sky. God's immediate touch is upon your body. You can feel it. Rejoice in it. Give him the glory. Yield to him now. I am simply his servant, endeavoring to be always obedient to the Holy Spirit. We never close the meeting. It is carried in our hearts all week. You've met with millions of us who care. We care about our souls. We care about this earth. We care about the Lord's return. That burden is upon us because we love and respect the Holy Spirit, who guides and comforts as Jesus said he would. And your part in the meeting has been very, very important. And we say it with you, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.